This 35, please. It's so good to be here, and it's such an honor to be at this great church. I don't feel like I even need to give much of an introduction because we know you all so well. Thank you for your kindness to myself and my family over the years. We appreciate getting to know you, and it's great to see so many familiar faces and some new faces as well. This morning, my kids, they just adore Pastor Rich. He's just their favorite. And this morning, Jude said, "You know why they call him Pastor Rich? They call him Pastor because he's a good preacher, and they call him Rich because he has a lot of money." So I don't know where he got that from, but he loves you. It's good to have Jude in the service with us this morning. I said, "Don't you want to go down with the kids?" And he said he wanted to stay here and hear me preach. And so I'm excited for that. It's such a great thing being a dad, and I love it. I love every minute. And if you have kids, cherish your kids. And we're told on a regular basis when we go out, people see us with our three boys, and they are full of energy. I mean full. The second they wake up, they're ready to go. I'm wired. No caffeine, no coffee needed. They're ready to go. I'm not that way. I need, you know, some caffeine in my blood. But we're told all the time, enjoy these years. Enjoy them while they're young. And we're doing our best to enjoy every day. And it's such an honor to be a parent. But it's good to be here. We had a great conference. Such an honor for me to be here and just to be a part of what God has done these past several years at the youth conference, getting to know with many of the local churches. We were here for the first two youth conferences for Marvel and Wynn, and it's just great to see how God has grown it into something that many people are traveling hours away. I think a church came from Toledo, which was the furthest distance, and just what a blessing to be a part of that. It's been great to have the tour group with us, and we've just been so encouraged by their music. Preacher leaned over to me and said, "If you can't preach after a song like that, you need to turn in your ordination." And I agreed with that. I'm fired up and ready to go this morning. So thank you again for being so kind to us. Exodus 35 this morning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath day of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense." And keep reading. Read these details. I think it's important. God would not have put them in His Word if they weren't important. "And onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his taches, and his boards, bars, his pillars, and his sockets. The ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering. The table and his staves, and all the vessels and the showbread. The candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps with the oil for the light." Verse number 15 of chapter 35. "And the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle. The altar of the burnt offering with his brazen grate, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot. The hangings of the court, his pillars, their socket, the hanging of the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, the pins of the court and their cords. The clothes of service to do service in the holy place. The holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his son to minister in the priest's office." And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering, offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skin of lambs and badger skin, and brought them. And everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the Lord brought it.
And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod, for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by my name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, and wisdom, and understanding, and knowledge, and all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizamech, the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. Stay with me, we're getting somewhere. Then brought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man his work which they made. And look at this, verse number 5. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff that they had was sufficient for the work to make it, and too much. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. Father, I pray these next few minutes help every heart, Lord, to tune in to what you have. God, I don't feel worthy to be up here, Lord, but I know that you are worthy. And God, I pray that you will speak, that you'll use me this morning. Help me to get out of your way. Thank you for this great church and these great people. God, I pray that every person will hear from heaven this morning. Help us to pay attention and to focus to what you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine with me that this church is doing a special offering, that we're getting ready to build something, or we have a special program, and the preacher is getting people excited, and we have a chart of everything that we're going to be raising, all the money that needs to come in, and he gets people excited about it, tells them what they need to do, and then they begin giving. And you pass the offering plates around, and as they're starting to count what's given, they said, We got everything we need, preacher. We have too much. Stop giving. Those words will never, ever be heard in an independent Baptist church. Stop giving. They had too much. I want you to imagine what happened here. They're getting ready to build a tabernacle. If you look in the previous few chapters, this is when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. At the end of chapter 35, his face was glowing. His countenance that he had, or chapter 34, his countenance of spending time with God. We could talk about that, how you should be different when you've been with God and people can notice that. We could talk about the wickedness that the Israelites committed and how they had to make a choice whom they were going to serve. But it's now in chapter 35 that they're getting ready to build a tabernacle, a place for the Lord where God will be worshipped and a place where God's presence will be known and sensed and centered. And this was an exciting time. And Moses had the word of the Lord. He delivered directly what the Lord had said. And as he told the people, immediately they went and they brought all of these things. I want you to imagine that they had brought these with them through the wilderness from Egypt. When we think of them traveling, I don't often think of them having as much stuff. But all of these items that they had that they collected, and they collected so many things that they had too much. And my thought for you this morning is just a simple thought found straight from God's word. How do you get to the point when you have too much? How do you get to the point when you can say, we've done enough, we've given everything, stop giving? There's one reason why they got to that point when they were able to do this and build this tabernacle. And I want you to go back to chapter 35 and look at verse 21. The Bible says in chapter 35, verse 21, And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. I believe what happened here is when Moses was speaking and he told the people everything that had to be done, God began doing a work in the heart of every person. They heard that this needs to be brought and this needs to be brought, and they thought, hey, I have that at my house, or hey, I have the ability to do this work, or I spent some time and I remember bringing this from Egypt, and God convicted every heart, every soul, and what they could do, how they could be a part of it, and they were able to bring too much, and they were able to see this tabernacle built because people got stirred up. People got stirred up, and great things happen when God stirs you up. I have a question for you this morning. For every person, ask yourself, are you stirred up? When was the last time that God stirred you up? That you were sitting and you just knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, and you just knew that God was doing something, and you just had to do something, that God was just stirring something in your life, and you couldn't sit still, you couldn't hold on because God was stirring you up. Hey, when was the last time that you got stirred up? Because I believe that God wants to stir us up. The word stir means to cause a slight movement or the change in position of, to disturb the quiet of, or to agitate. When I think of the word agitate, the home that we were renting, we rented a home for 5 years. I was doing the lawn work once, and I got close to this bush, and I was trimming the weeds around it, and I got stung by a bee, and it really hurt. And I saw a couple of them flying, and I thought, well, there must be a bee's nest or something near here. I should stay away from it. And so a couple weeks later, I was doing the same yard work, and this time I had my weed eater. And I just wanted to trim a little part of the bush. I used the weed eater to trim it, and I saw a couple of these bees flying out. And I thought, well, I've got the weed eater. I mean, they're not going to fly through this thing, you know? I mean, I've got protection. I can take them on. And so I said, I'm going to cut this thing. And before I knew it, this swarm of yellow jackets flew out. I got stung I don't know how many times, and I jumped off the wall. There was a wall that I don't know how many feet I jumped, and I ran across my yard screaming. I agitated them. I made them angry. They made me angry, and so I had an appointment the next night with some spray, and I made sure I got rid of that nest, and I agitated them. They had a comfortable place. Church, are you listening this morning? They had a residence that they were comfortable. They enjoyed their, and it was a really cool nest that they had. I enjoyed destroying it. They had this nice nest, and they were just going about their business, and one day I came along, and I bothered them. I did something that disturbed their routine. I did something that caused them to go out of the ordinary and to get a little bit uncomfortable, and they didn't like that very much. And that's what to stir means. It's to agitate. The definition also gives us the idea of rousing to activity or evoking strong feelings. Some synonyms are to disturb, to move, to provoke, to excite, to infuriate. I think about things that need to be stirred. My wife, every year for the, we do a dessert auction in the fall. Before our we would do a teen banquet. We just moved it to the spring, but we would do a big dessert auction around Thanksgiving time. And my wife makes these peanut butter balls, and they're worldwide famous. If you have not heard of them, they're famous, spread abroad. They always win the most money. I think one time they went for over $100, and it's an exciting thing to watch her make. But when she makes them, I always kind of, you know, don't stay too far away so I can, you know, pick up some of the extra trimmings. Or I need to test them and make sure they're edible for everybody else. And anyway, I still don't know how to make them. I wouldn't be able to do it on my own. But I watch her. She takes the chocolate and she melts it. But once that chocolate is melt, you have to keep it warm and you have to keep stirring it. And if you let it get cool and if you stop moving it, it will harden. And you can't use it. And there's a lot of things that on a regular basis that we use that just needs to be stirred. When you buy a can of paint, what do you have to do? You have to stir it up so that it can be used because it settles at the bottom. Many of you probably stirred your coffee this morning when you put in your cream and sugar. I believe, do you have anybody in here that drinks coffee black? Anybody? Amen. That's how coffee should be drunk. That's the way the Lord made it. It's somewhere in the Bible, I'm sure. But anyway, I'm a little obsessed with coffee. I don't even get me started about coffee. But anyway, believe it or not, I actually haven't had that much coffee this morning. But coffee, believe it or not, you stir it up. How many of you have ever made ice cream? You ever made ice cream with the crank and you had to keep it stirring? You know what that idea is? You have to keep it stirred. Or if you've ever followed or seen a concrete truck and they need to keep it moving so that it doesn't harden. And I had this thought. I was actually speaking to my father once, still the person that I go to for the most wisdom, spiritual knowledge that I know. And he said, I had this thought. When God speaks about hardening people's hearts, when Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and when people's hearts were hardened, hey, here's the thought. Maybe not necessarily God physically hardening their heart or doing something to their heart, but maybe God just stopped stirring. Just like that concrete chuck that needs to keep moving. You need to keep agitating it to keep it going. Just like you need to stir in that cream and sugar and you need to stir that chocolate to keep it from hardening. God needs to keep stirring our lives to keep us from growing cold. Amen. God needs to keep stirring us so that we don't get hardened, so that we don't become too stubborn and complacent in our ways. And maybe we've gotten to that place when you feel like you're cold and you feel like you've been hardened. It's not something that's happened to you, but it's that you haven't been stirred up. And I believe we need God to stir us up. Matthew 24:14, the Bible says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I was thinking about wax. What happens to wax when it gets cold? And there's so many great examples of this thought. I'd like to turn to just a few passages in Scripture, give you a few of the verses about this thought, and then we'll come back to Exodus 35 and give you just a few points. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15, please. Is it all right if we turn in our Bibles a little bit this morning? Amen. A couple people are all right with that? Just kidding. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. Are you happy to be saved? No, that wasn't very enthusiastic. You know, I could make the case that there's some that might not be too happy. You know, I know maybe it's been a long weekend, might be a little bit tired, but are you thankful you're saved this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 15, verse 1, the Bible says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Grievous words. And so think of this thought of agitating, of disturbing. There's anger, but grievous words can stir that up. And it can cause that to be moved and agitated and that anger to come out that wasn't touched before. Turn with me to another place, please. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say amen. Nobody wanted to say amen, but I hear a lot of pages turning. Proverbs 21:25. "But there was none like unto Ahab." Did I say Proverbs? 1 Kings. 1 Kings 21:25. "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord." "Whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." And his wife stirred him up. So being stirred up isn't always a good thing. We just saw how we can be stirred up to anger, and his wife stirred him up. We know of the wickedness of Jezebel. But I'd like to show you two more passages, then we'll go back to our text. Look at Acts chapter 17 with me, please. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 17. And this is one of the greatest verses, I believe, about this thought. Acts 17:16. And the Bible says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." When was the last time that maybe you were out at a more rough area? Or maybe you saw someone on a street, or someone came to you with a problem and you were stirred up? You saw, you know, I think sometimes we're so used to our routine that we don't often look at other people that are needy. And we need to look at what God wants to do in others' lives and get stirred up. When was the last time that you got stirred up for a bus kid? When was the last time you got stirred up for one of your Sunday school kids? That you were stirred up for someone that you know is struggling, someone that needs help. That you were stirred up for someone that you know is burdened with something. That you got stirred up for someone else. And when Paul was there, he saw the city given to idolatry. It doesn't say that he judged them or got angry, but his heart stirred him up. He was burdened. God began doing a work in his heart when he saw them. And I believe I can speak on behalf of the preachers here that my call to preach at the church that I am in is simply God stirring me up. When I visited Mountain View Baptist Church, I realized what a great church it is, a great preacher. You all will really enjoy Pastor Chad Correa when he's here in a few weeks. I love our preacher. And what really brought me to the place where I knew it was where God called me is when I saw a bunch of teenagers that needed a youth pastor. I realized I really wasn't the most qualified person. There were many other people in the college that would have been much more qualified than me. But I realized they needed somebody. And I just told God, I'm willing to go if you want me to go. But I saw that they needed. I saw that need. And God stirred my heart. And we're in Acts. Turn over to one more place, and then we'll go back to our text. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Doing great this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's after 1 Timothy. Making sure you're awake. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. My wife loves my corny jokes. She doesn't give me the privilege of ever laughing at them, but I know deep down that she thinks I'm hilarious. She just doesn't want me to have that satisfaction, preacher, you know, so pray for me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. I've heard this verse and read this verse before, but put it into the context of what that thought means of stirring up. And I believe it means to not neglect, not letting it go. And that gift and what God's done in your life, it needs to be stirred up. It needs to be moved. Turn with me back to our text, please, back to Exodus 35, and I'll give you just a couple quick thoughts and we'll be done. But it's so easy to grow comfortable. It's so easy to be complacent. And I think in dealing with youth ministry is one of the things I enjoy most is that teens are easily stirred up. Sometimes they don't even know why they're stirred up, but they're just stirred up. I've taken teens to the altar before, and they've been weeping and just bawling their eyes out. And why are you crying, bro? I don't know. And it's great. They're just stirred up. God's moving, and so I'm just going to respond. But something happens. And I don't know what age it happens, and I'm in my 30s now, so I can speak from a little bit of experience, that the older I get, I think the more difficult or less often I'm stirred up. And it's easy to just get comfortable. And just like a paint or something that starts to settle a little bit and separate. When was the last time you were stirred up? I believe that three things will happen when you're stirred up, and we can find from our text here in Exodus 35, three things that will happen in your life when you become stirred up. Look at verse number four. And Moses spake unto all the congregation, Exodus 35, 4. Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. I find it really interesting in everything that they brought for the tabernacle that God did not require it from anybody. There was no tax taken. They did not have a list. Oh, sir, you own this. You need to bring it in. But Moses just said, if you're willing, bring it. The first result of being stirred up is there will be a willingness in your life. When God stirs you up and you feel the Holy Spirit working inside and you feel like God's doing something in my life, the first thing is you just come down to an altar, whether it's a physical one or the altar of your heart, and just give your life to God and say, God, I'm giving up. God, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my plans. I'm giving you my desires. I'm not holding anything back. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, Proverbs 3:6 says. And we have this idea of just full surrender. If God stirs you up, you'll be willing. I want you to think about your willingness this morning. Are you willing? What is that area in your life, and only you know in the Holy Spirit, but what's that area in your life that you've just said no? Well, I'll do anything, but no, I can't sing in the choir. I can't work in the nursery. Oh, you don't want me with kids. Please, don't put me around kids. I can't knock on a door and tell somebody about Jesus. I could never teach a Sunday school class. I mean, not me, not in front of people. Hey, listen, I can say this because I'm that person. I've given every excuse in the book, and everyone, God just shoots down. Nope. It's not enough. You need to get to a place in your life, and my prayer is to be at that place in my life when there's nothing I won't do. There is no limit that I won't go to. There is no place that I've drawn that I've said, God, I'm going to go here, but that's enough. This is as far as I'll go, Lord. There needs to be a time in your life when you come to a place, church, when you just say, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm not holding anything back. Lord, my plans, my dreams, my future, my family, everything I have, God, is yours. I wouldn't have it without you, God, and I'm just giving it all to you. It needs to come to that place in our life. Psalm 110 verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. This says the people shall be willing. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In this time period, they knew of sacrifices. And so what God wanted was you to actually offer a sacrifice. And this verse kind of changes that thinking a little bit. It doesn't say the sacrifices of God are a bullock or a young lamb. It says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Are you with me this morning? A broken spirit. Saying, God, I don't have much. Lord, I know that I'm nobody. Lord, I know that I don't have many abilities. God, I have many weaknesses, and you know my past, and you know my struggles. But God, I'm giving it all to you. I'm not holding it back. But why? Because everything that you have is from God. D.L. Moody says, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. William Booth said, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Someone else said that the man or woman who is wholly or joyously surrendered to Christ can't make a wrong choice. Any choice will be the right one. And then Moody is also famously known for saying, no one can sum up all God is able to do through one solitary life, wholly yielded, adjusted, and obedient to Him. Why? Because God has been so good to us. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Hey, you know, why do we tithe? Why do we give to God? Because everything that we have is because of Him. We didn't have that job on our own. We didn't have the ability to get that position and to do our work and to get that paycheck on our own. It's because God that you have that job. It's because of God that you have your family. It's because of God that you have your house. Everything that you have in your life is because of Him. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no such thing as good luck for a Christian. There's no such thing as just chance things happening. The good things that you have in your life are because a holy, benevolent God chose to give them to you because He loves you. Not because you deserve it, not because you did anything in yourself, but just because He loves you. So why should we give ourselves to God? Why should we be willing? Because He's been so good to us. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. Has God loaded you with benefits this morning? I know He has me. So we need to give. There's a willingness that must happen. But second, look at verse number 26. We're in Exodus 35. Look at verse 26. There's another word that's used throughout this passage, not just willing, but verse 26, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. I was thinking about that. When God stirs you up, you don't just go crazy. You don't just, well, God stirred me up, so I'm going to run and just run as far as I can until I collapse. God stirs you up and you make wise decisions. He stirs you to wisdom. And I've seen many people, they get stirred up, but then they don't know what to do afterwards. And it's really important, I think, that in wisdom they did all these works. They begin making this goat's hair and be making things and building things. And we'll talk about that in a second, but it was wisdom. There is wisdom necessary. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, the gift to all men liberally, that upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need wisdom. We need to make good decisions. I preach to teenagers often, and these are two of the topics that I preach most to them about, is surrender and making good decisions. Because as a teenager, making good decisions and surrendering your life to God, I believe those are two of the building blocks, the foundations upon which God can build an incredible life for you. But I hope you get that this morning. Surrender your life to God. Give your life to Him. But second, wisdom. Make good choices. You would think that the older we get, the more wise our choices would be, but that's not always the case. And I don't know about you, but I often make choices. I regret choices that I shouldn't have made. And we need to be careful and make good choices. And so the second thing is wisdom. There's a willingness of wisdom. But then third this morning, look at verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, and every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. I believe when God stirs you up, there'll be a willingness. I believe there'll be wisdom, but I believe lastly, there'll be work. He doesn't just stir you up to sit there stirred up. Amen. He stirs you up to do something. So if you're sitting here this morning and God stirred you up, you need to seek wisdom and ask God's help, but get going, get busy, let's get serving, let's do something with our lives. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This verse said that God has given each person a gift. He's given each person something that they can do. When you read this passage, it's interesting. All the things that they built and everything they put together, it took everybody to be a part. And church, look up here. I'm almost done. I believe God's desire is for every person to be involved. Every single person. You won't all be preachers. You won't all work in the nursery. But everybody can do something. I look at this passage. There's a lot of things I can't do. I'm not very handy with building things, so I probably wouldn't be one of the ones putting something together. But God can use me in a different capacity, and God can use each of you in a different capacity. There's a work to be done. Hey, there's a lot of work for us to do. We'll have plenty of time to rest in heaven. We'll have plenty of time to enjoy our time in heaven. We need to get to work. Amen. Christians, we need to get to work. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people that need to hear the gospel. There's a lot of people that are struggling, that are hurting, that need your help. There are great works for God to be built. Maybe you're here this morning and God's stirring your heart about doing something for Him. You need to respond. And I think the interesting thing, when you look at verse number 20, it says, as soon as Moses had told them what to do, verse 20 says, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed. He told them what to do, and immediately they went. There wasn't this, all right, let me pray. Let me seek counsel. They went. And I believe there's a wisdom. You need to make wise decisions. But oftentimes, God stirs our heart, and we don't do anything. And it starts to get cold. Think about anything that needs to be stirred. When it gets cold is normally when it hardens. And that's what happens if you don't respond right away. Every person in part. When was the last time God stirred you up? Are you stirred up this morning? And if you're stirred up, there's a willingness, there's a wisdom, and there's work. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you so much for listening so well this morning. When was the last time that God really stirred you up? That you saw someone in need? That you were sitting in church and heard God's word preached and God just started working in your life?